Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Talk Radio. Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Late Night Alternative. I'm Catherine Boyle. And Sean in Brighton, if you've got the balls to come on and speak to me, I do not appreciate you ringing up to have a go at the people answering the phones. Coward. So Sean in Brighton has rung up swearing, apparently, and not letting Aylif answer, and saying, how effing stupid are you not recognising the fact that this kid everyone's talking about, this kid, Quaiden, that everyone's talking about, that it appeared to be beside himself with anxiety and anger and sadness because he's been picked on at school. Apparently it's all a big hoax and we're all stupid. People, huh? 03444991000. Oh, yeah, and you gave us that old chestnut about paying our wages. You don't, Sean. You don't. But if you remember from last time, on Friday he rang up with all that kind of patter and didn't listen and was apparently some kind of radio expert and told us exactly how we were funded, even though he has no idea how we're funded. I just get the feeling that that's the kind of person... Sean, I may be wrong. That's the kind of person who has a go at waitresses and stuff, you know, because they can't answer back. So if you'd like to come on, I'd love to hear your views. 03444991000. Honestly, I cannot bear that. I cannot bear it. And here's another thing. I've been the person on the other side of the glass. I've been that person. And I've been that person who almost immediately afterwards walks round the other side and comes on air. And the difference in tone with some people is incredible. But I see you, and I don't ever forget. 03444991000. Other than that, we can talk about whatever you fancy. You can, if you've had a little clash with someone at work, or you've had someone wade in and expect to be able to stand over your shoulder and tell you how to do your job, come on and have a little vent, because this is the place. It's the Late Night Alternative, which means that there is no agenda. I've got a few little bits and bobs we can talk about, you know, for guidance, but for the most part, it's down to you. If you want to ring up and talk about what's happened in your day, what's happened in your life, something that's caught your eye, then feel free. This is one for you. 03 44 499 1000 is the phone number. If you prefer to tweet, it's at Talk Radio or at Flipping Cath. Or you can text 87222 and you can start your text with the word talk. Text costs 25p plus your standard network charge. 03444991000. Yeah, Roger sent me a tweet. People. Exactly. I thought we were going to get through this week all kind of, you know, still remembering that we're supposed to be kind to each other, but that's soon worn off, hasn't it? Isn't that funny? 03444991000. So coming up on today's show, we can talk about whatever you fancy, as I say, but here's something that caught my eye earlier on. I'm going to save some of the fruitier stuff for a bit later on in the show because, to be honest, people are pigs and I know some of you are still digesting your dinner, so let's not do that. But this one is something that I noticed. People that prepare, right, people who are prepared for life and put you to shame. Military wife who started batch cooking one-portion meals when her husband was deployed to Afghanistan reveals prepping saves her up to £80 a month. Shannon Bannon, real name, from Catterick, saves up to £80 a month by batch cooking. She buys the ingredients, spends hours prepping meals for several days, and favourites include fajitas, bolognese and cottage pie. She then puts them in the freezer, ready for it to defrost and enjoy. Where's the spontaneity, though? Where is the spontaneity? Now, I married into a family of people who, when they go to a restaurant, you have to book ahead. You have to say what you're going to have. And I hate it. I love them, but I hate this little tradition we've got going because I don't know what I'm going to fancy eating till the day. Do you? And it really gets my back up when you have to say, look at a menu like 3 weeks beforehand and guess what you might fancy. So, you know, this kind of spontaneity is not for me, Shannon Bannon, but fair play to you. Speaking to Money Saving Community, latestdeals.co.uk, where you can find the latest deals in the .co.uk. Shannon, a housewife, told how it helped her save money and made it easier to eat healthier meals at home. She said, I've been meal prepping for 2 months now. I started when my husband was deployed to Afghanistan. I wanted to make sure I had homemade meals in portions just for myself. I hate cooking meals for just myself, so I thought this would be a great way to make sure I was eating a nice home-cooked meal every day with little effort. I know where this is going now. I get it. Shannon, who did not want to share her husband's name, doesn't matter. We're talking about Shannon. Explain the approach involves meticulous planning and being organised in the kitchen. Well, obviously. I make all sorts of meals when I prep, from the staples of cottage pie and bolognese to pasties and fajita wraps. I've also started making my own oat pancakes and cutting them up for snacks during the week. She said it doesn't just save her money, but it also saves her the stress of deciding what to cook every night. Here we go. I've got a handle on this now. If you live on your own, it's really easy to eat crap all the time because you're not cooking for someone else, right? And you forget that you're just as important. And if eating and eating well is even more important if you're on your own because you're the only person looking after you. And also it's one of life's great joys, eating. And it can be so boring if you don't take a little bit of time with it. So I can see what Shannon's doing now. I had a friend who was a military wife and she was in the army herself. And when her husband was deployed, she became like she was an ace cleaner. Now, this is a woman who, if I moved house, I would call on her because she's incredible. When she used to move house, and they used to move a lot, obviously, being in the forces, she would have that van unpacked and everything put away that day. And it would be livable. It would be, and that would be it until they moved out again. Absolutely military operation. She was fantastic. And I think when your husband is away in the forces, or your wife, I dare say it's the same if you're the male partner in this situation, or the female partner, wherever it goes. But if you're the partner in the situation, she was never quite sure where her husband was. And she had the news on all the time. And so obviously she was out of her mind with worry. But it's a nice little distraction, isn't it? Kind of organising yourself and feeding yourself and eating well is really important. And also, I get it. So batch cooking means that she's buying, you know, reasonable sized portions. She's not just going for small bits and things are going to waste. I get it. So, okay. I feel less resentful of her organisation now. I completely understand why. If you found yourself on your own after a certain amount of time, how did you ensure that you were looking after yourself as well as you were in a couple or a family situation? And how long did it take? Or did you become that person who would grab something on the way home, or found yourself eating the same thing every day, or maybe you eat out? It's an expensive do that, though, isn't it? But it's no way to be, is it? It's no way to be. And there are plenty of people who, after they find themselves alone after a relationship where it's been like, she does that bit, I do that bit, you know, they've had to develop new skills. Like my grandma didn't drive until she was in her 70s when she was widowed. And when she found herself behind the wheel of a car, she found this whole new life. You know, she was able to, she didn't have to wait for her husband to take her places. She used to go, honestly, when my grandma was widowed, she joined the ladies' circle. Which sounds like sedate whoopee, doesn't it? You know, we've all seen the films and stuff, and you would imagine that ladies' circle is a lot of very kind of polite ladies in floral dresses sitting around talking about jam. No. I spent my 21st birthday with the ladies' circle because I was up in Manchester doing work experience, and Grandma said, do you want to come and meet the ladies with me? I have never heard bluer jokes or drunk more gin in my life. Those women were a hoot. And the other thing was they were off the leash for the first time in many of their lives, because they were that kind of generation who had moved from their parents' house and being someone's kid to being someone's wife, and pretty soon afterwards, someone's mother. And so it wasn't until they found themselves alone and with this freedom, you know, cars, and they would give each other lifts and stuff, and having this, and again, for many of them, for the first time, this kind of all-female group of friends, they were off the leash. It was incredible. The joy was something else. So, yeah, kind of life after being involved in a couple, life on your own. Tell me about it. How is it for you? How do you make sure that you don't end up eating macaroni cheese every day? And what difference has it made to your life? Have you found something that you really love doing and you wish you'd realised that that was out there when you were 17, 18? 0344 499 1000 is the phone number to ring. We've got David in Tyneside on the phone, and I've got time for you as well, of course, tonight. I'll be here right through till 1 o'clock. 0344 499 1000. We'll take a little break, then we'll get back to you, David, so hang on there.
Talk Radio. Across the UK, Giles Corran on Talk Radio.
Never in the history of broadcasting have we had an interview quite like this.
Giles Corran.
Yeah. And they think she's being really nice and doing sort of access work with old people, but really she's going, ha-ha, you can't bend grandma.
Giles Corran, Sunday nights from 7.
So I just wanted to marry anyone I could marry. and they'd come around and they'd just see this man lives in this house. What psycho is this?
Giles Corran, Sunday nights from 7 on Talk Radio with The Times. Know your times.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Still fuming about Sean in Brighton and having the front to come on and start having a go at my mates. Strangely, he's very quiet on the phone now. But I've had a look at the New York Post and they're talking about this idea that some people on Twitter are questioning whether Quaiden Bales, who everyone's talking about because he was seen being picked up in this video by his mum from school and sobbing that he's been the victim of bullies. But apparently some Twitter users are questioning whether he is nothing but a teenage prankster, although other postings appear to back up his heartbreaking tale. Quaiden, who gained the sympathy of legions of supporters, including actor and fellow Aussie Hugh Jackman, as you heard in the news there at the top of the hour, is really 18 and scammed everybody, tweeted Jasmine Doe on Friday, according to several Twitter users who reposted the accusation with some photos of an adult-looking Bales from his Instagram page. Dow's Twitter account appeared to have been taken down later on Friday. But NBC's TV's Today show featured an uplifting piece about a clearly little boy Bales in July 2016 walking his dog Buddy and saying how the canine helps him cope with ridicule. Bales is missing his two front teeth in the photo, and the show said he was 5 years old at the time. The Australian TV show Living Black also did a report on Bales' struggles in April 2015 and featured video footage of him as a little boy at that time. A Facebook page, apparently belonging to one of Bale's relatives, also shows she shared photos on it in 2012 of him as a baby. And when asked how old he was at the time, Bale's mum wrote, "Little man's going to be 15 months now, bless him." But Dow's alleged tweet says Bale's has plenty of money and, yeah, everyone fell for it. Now, if I'm wrong, please source your link and explain why to me, she wrote, according to the screenshot. He's an Instagram celeb and deleted captions pertaining to his 18th birthday post. Twitter user Shan R reposted the tweet and added, "WTF is this? He's 18 and an actor?" Bales' Instagram page includes some of the photos that were circulating questioning him. It's interesting, isn't it, that people have to undermine something that seemed like a really pure thing, right? And is it because we are living in an age of no one taking anyone else's word for it? Everyone goes with their gut feeling, right? And everyone feels obliged to spout off about it straight away. They don't know this person. They obviously have not done the research that the New York Post has done here, otherwise they'd be looking very silly. And also, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't really about Quaiden, is it? I mean, it is in terms of it's heartbreaking to see anyone that upset. But this is really about the power of the online community to reach out to someone that they feel is struggling. And it's a beautiful thing, a really beautiful thing. You've got people, you know, Hollywood movie stars, as well as your average Joes and Josephines, all reaching out to this kid. And yet some people have to dig dirt like that. I mean, and by the looks of things, make stuff up. And then you get idiots ringing up radio stations and having a go at the, you know, behind the scenes staff and calling them effing idiots for believing it. People, whatever happened to just believing the best in people? What was wrong with that? And why are some people so averse to seeing that goodness? I think it's really sad. It's really sad for them, apart from anything else. 0344 499 1000. Let's have a word with David, because I know he's been on the line for a little while. And you're a first-time caller, aren't you, David?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Hey, no problem at all. What have you got for me?
Yeah, I've just heard it tonight about... I'm a Geordie lad. Geordie Dave, that's me Twitter. And I'm just thinking about all the stuff I've been listening to for months and months and months, years and years. I saw my mother being beaten up by my father because he made tomatoes on toast. And my mother had that had them for my tea, like, and her parents. You know what it is? This has got to stop. All this, like, sort of identity politics and everything is destroying the country, is destroying the world.
Hang on a minute, I'm struggling to keep up with you. So take me back to what you're talking about, tomatoes on toast.
My father made tomatoes on toast for me as a child when I was five.
Yeah.
My mother come down the stairs, yeah, and she complained because the tomatoes were used.
Right. What, and she had plans for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my father turned a tea towel and whipped my mother in front of us.
God, that's terrible. I'm so sorry you saw that, and I'm so sorry it happened to your mum.
You're not sorry. No. Don't be sorry. Because the thing is, all this, like, what's happening is now with all this, like, sort of work, sort of anti-racism and everything, it's destroying the country and it's got to stop.
How on earth has that got anything to do with that story you just told me?
Yes, it has.
How?
Because some of the fact is, I could complain all my life about being abused, about being upset, about being anything. Yes, I was bullied at school and all the rest of it, but now I'm a man, I'm a Geordie.
And you're clearly fine with it. Yeah, you're clearly fine with it.
Wait 1 second. In that, you know what it is? I will protect any culture or anybody on this planet.
Well,
right? No, wait a minute.
Can you just calm down a bit, David, because you're getting yourself all unnecessarily upset.
No, I'm not. What the London elite and the media have stopped doing is race baiting, and they've got to stop this. It's got to stop now.
What are you on about?
I'm talking about the London elite.
Who's
in the
that?
Media.
Who's that?
Race-hating and so I'm up in Newcastle, and I tell you what, you know what it is? I ask people who are like black or any other culture, and I ask them, I go out my way, have them been abused, and none of them have been abused. No, wait a minute, stop. You know what it is? All this.
David, if you're going to shout at me, I'll just turn you off. You stop. Calm down and let's have a conversation. Don't give me a lecture. Are you ready? Are you calm?
I'm calm.
All right, well, stop shouting at me.
I'm sorry.
You're not sorry. You're obviously furious about something.
I am sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry. I am sorry.
You're not, because you've come on furious, and it's not my fault, and it's nothing that's been said on this programme, and I've got a feeling this is something that's been building up in you for a long time.
Right, I was on LBC.
Uh-huh.
Right, and I spoke to Ian Dale. Wait a minute, I spoke to Ian Dale. Okay?
I don't care. Why are you bringing it here?
No, wait a minute. You've just said you don't care.
Don't care you're talking to another radio station. That was a conversation you had with a completely different person. Why are you bringing it to me?
Hold on, wait a minute. 1 second. We're having a conversation. You've just said...
You're coming in halfway through an argument you had with someone else.
I'm not. Can we have a discussion or not?
I don't know, can we?
Yes, I would like to have a discussion
right,
with you.
Right, so stop shouting.
Well, I'm not shouting. Okay, right. Okay, I'm shouting. I apologise. Okay.
One more chance. Any more of it and you're off.
Right, so, what I was saying was...
God.
I spoke to Ian Dale.
Yeah, I'm not interested. 03444991000. Let's speak to Stephen instead. Hello, Stephen.
Oh, hi, Cass. Oh, that was... Was it me or was it everybody else?
No, it was David.
Couldn't make head or tail of that, to be honest. I did my best to follow it.
I think David comes from the school of, I've been kicked in the nuts, so therefore no one else is allowed any sympathy and I'm allowed to be furious about everyone.
Absolutely. And I'm really sorry that that happened to Elif behind the glass, because she's a nice person.
She's lovely.
When she's produced other shows that I've got through to in the past, and they're a nice person and doesn't deserve that. And I know it's easy for people to say, well, it's okay. But it does hurt. I mean, I know people have got thick skins and you've had a lot of people shout at you. But, I mean, it's not a nice thing. And it's been a good week. You've listened to me and my troubles and you've listened to other people. Kaya last night and his troubles. And I think it's been a peaceful week, you know, like, you know the show, obviously, better than I, and you sometimes get a good week or a bad week, and I think sometimes this has been a good week in that people have listened to problems, they've been constructive, they've rung in with advice and suggestions, and then it's a shame on your final last night, being alone, you get someone ringing up, being abusive to Elif behind the glass, and you get a call that you just had.
Ah, it's all right. Do you know what? I'm fine with it because, I'm quite capable of seeing people like that off. But, you know, I will not accept that. I won't accept being spoken to like that, and I won't let anyone speak to my team like that. Just not happening.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's not good for us listeners either, Kath, because, you know, I mean, it lowers us. Ian would say, you know, it lowers the vibe or something. You know, there's a good vibe, he often says. You know, and it's true. You know, you sometimes get a very caring vibe where everyone's trying to contribute. Like last night with Kai and his story, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. And, anyway, let's try and raise the vibe. But I was going to say, last night... I always fall asleep in the middle of the programme, but I managed to wake up when there was something concerning me, and I just thought it was so funny that I was in the sleep and I woke when Jasmine rang.
This is getting to become a habit. It's like saying Beetlejuice 3 times.
maybe I'm psychic in my deep sleep.
I think
something strange goes on, because then... I woke up really alert and heard you say, oh, well, Stephen, I think you're his favourite caller or something like that. And then she started saying, well, I've been doing this. And then you said, but I never did get the bit, what does she actually do for a job, because she said, well, it's been a storm here, and I just came in from a storm, and I've been broke. I didn't get well what the actual job was.
I think, I don't know what her job is, but I know that she's still doing experiments. Maybe that, I don't think she's employed as a scientist.
No, and the chap that rang in for eye advice, I mean, my goodness, no, you can't ask Jasmine. She's not a consultant. She's not a consultant ophthalmologist.
No, not yet. She isn't. No.
No medical advice. Kev, can you believe this? That I'm a classical music person, because I grew up. Strangely enough, I won't go into my problems because I don't want to lower the thing, but. I think it was because as a teenager, pop songs were all about I'm in love, you know, I fancy her, you know what I mean, 90% of pop songs are like that.
Yeah.
And as you know, I was covered in acne, girls didn't fancy me, so it pushed me towards like Beethoven and Mozart, Bach and so on, even though I know that, I mean, if the movie Amadeus is anything to go by, Mozart was, you know, quite a sexual person in his own way.
I love that film, but yeah, he was a filth bag.
Yeah, but at least in the music, you don't hear him say, come on, babe, you know, show me this and show me that. So it made me a classical sort of person, really, and I've always gone to the proms and Royal Opera House and things like that when I could afford it. But I've only been to one big pop concert ever, you know, having been to hundreds of classical ones. And I wondered if you could guess who it was, because you've mentioned the name of this person in the last week, I think. Yeah, since you've been alone in the studio, I wonder if you could...
Who have I mentioned?
You mentioned someone, and you said, well, I shall give you a hint.
Go on. Is it Cilla?
Female. And there was something you didn't like about her, then you said, oh, but then I realised it's because she's dot, doing something.
No, what's that?
Have I imagined it? No. Shall I tell you then?
Go on, tell me.
Tani Tatikaram.
Oh, yes. So, no, it's not that I dislike her. It's that I found her a bit frightening when I was a kid because she used to sing. She had this very intense way of singing while flickering her eyes underneath her eyelids. And I remember being a bit freaked out by it. But now I know it's all about concentration and artistry, so she's fine by me. She can do what she wants with her face. Her voice is incredible.
Well, and there was a thing where someone once said, she took it the wrong way, actually. Someone said she looked like Elvis. Well, it's because she used to curl her lip.
Yeah.
And that's what they meant. And then she took it as like, well, I look like a man. Oh, thanks. You know, like, you know, what a compliment, you know, in a sarcastic way. But no, people didn't mean it in a rude way. But no, I saw her at Hammersmith and it was set after set. You know, it's was a famous one. It's a good tradition of love and hate, isn't it? That was that big song of hers. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
And she was always in a black suit, black jacket, black trousers. And she's got an exotic background, half Fijian, half Malaysian, is it? Something like that, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
A little bit unusual. But I've no idea what she's doing now. But
I think she's still gigging. Yeah. Let's have a look. I think she's still gigging. Let's have a look. Because I looked her up the other day.
If I'd have said, guess, which was the biggest pop concert I've ever gone to, you'd have probably said, well, was it Deep Purple? Or was it, I don't know.
I've not got you down as a rocker.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I do have a soft spot for Led Zeppelin. I know Ian hates them, but I do like Led Zeppelin.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Do you know their song, Thank You?
No.
Oh, can you play a bit later? Are you allowed to for, you know, the copyright stuff? And all
yeah, I'm allowed to. I'll consider it, Stephen. I'll consider it. But I'll certainly have a listen privately. But Led Zeppelin
is a soft one. It's not one of the blazing guitar ones where loads of riffs come bolting out the earpiece. It's a melodic one, and it's a bit of a love song, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll give it a listen. Yeah.
Just called Thank You.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate that.
And can I just say thank you for this week. At the start of the week, I was feeling very rubbishy. And I'm not going to pretend and say, well, I feel great on top of the world now. And you'd know that was a lie anyway, because 5 days, I'm not going to be transformed. You know, I mean, it would take a miracle worker. But I must say that I've enjoyed your shows. I've listened every night, apart from the times when I've fallen asleep for an hour in the middle bit. But I'll try and stay awake for this night. And once again, I think you're a very good broadcaster, and you can stand alone. You don't. They don't need replacements. You know, people keep on about, oh, can someone else stand in for Ian? No, but you do a good enough job. Well,
that's very kind of you. Can I make one observation, Stephen? I think the reason why you're feeling a little bit better is because of basically human connection. I feel like you've been missing out on that.
I think so. Not speaking enough. Mm. And then you can't... And then talk about jumping the deep end, like not talk to anyone for ages, and then suddenly speak to the nation on the radio. I mean, you know, it's just talk about from one extreme to the other, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Have you got any pals you can ring? I mean, obviously not now, it's probably a bit too late, but do you think there's someone you need to reconnect with?
Well, I have a friend, but she's... Actually, she's got Ian's sorts of trouble, deep anxiety, and oh, she's not addicted, but she's got deep anxiety and depression. But she goes in and out of it.
Yeah, that's
so it depends at what point in that graph, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You know, well, I suppose it's like you and Ian. You wouldn't really ring him to talk about something if he's gone into a valley. Whereas if it's a peak and he's going upwards, then I can talk to my friend like that and I can have a chat with her. So
here's the thing with me and Ian. I ring him all the time anyway. I bear in mind his state of mind, and I don't put too much on him if he's not in a, you know, if he's not in the right place for that. But he always knows I'm there, and if he's in the valley, as you call it, I make sure that he knows I'll be waiting for him when he bobs back up again.
Yeah, that's good.
That's all you can do.
And can I just say, anyone that can call you a friend is a very lucky person indeed. I think very lucky indeed.
Oh, really. Thanks, Stephen. That's very.
And I'm not being a caller, but I really, really mean that.
That's very sweet of you to say. I really appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go now. Before I'm just going to take because normally my reaction to stuff like that is to laugh it off, but I'm going to take it. Thank you very much, Stephen. That's really kind.
Please try and listen to "Thank You" by Zeppelin.
I will do. I'll listen to it. I'll listen to it tonight. Take care. Bye. Thank you, Stephen. 0344 499 1000. If you want to give us a ring.
Late Night with Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. If you want to give me a ring. But don't ring up expecting to be able to walk over me, and don't give my team next door jip thinking that we're just going to roll over, because believe it or not, for the one person that needs it explaining, you are not our boss, and we don't have to take any of your nonsense, and we won't. I kind of want him to come on air so I can tell him that in person, but I know he won't dare. 0344 499 1000. I've got some messages here. Let me get through them. Thanks to everyone who sent me a tweet. Oh, there's some great ones here. I was asking you about singleness. If you live alone, how do you make sure? What are the things that you do to make sure that you are living properly? Because it's very easy. And when I was single, had my own flat, I used to come in from work. It would be very easy for me to, like, I don't know, live on jam butties or whatever, because you've got no one else. You've got no one looking over your shoulder going, what, you're having that again? That's not a proper dinner. For the most part, if I didn't plan beforehand, I didn't have anything in the fridge. It's just very easy, isn't it, to start living in a way that you wouldn't if you were looking after someone else. And you are important, and you deserve to live nicely, and you deserve to eat nicely. So we're asking about that, singledom, and how you make sure that you live properly, even though there's no one over your shoulder. 0344 499 1000. A lot of people are turning their volume down in the first 10 minutes of the show. I'm sorry about that. I did try to moderate that, but yeah. Apparently, it's all that Simon says, all the snowflakes having feelings and sensitivities, and what we want is more war and pestilence. That'll snap them out of it. Yeah, that seemed to be the complaint, didn't it? That everyone was too woke. Not everyone. Geordie Dave needs a hug. Even if he was strong and got through the abuse, doesn't mean it's okay for everyone else to be abused. Boom. Roger says, though, I've been to London a few times now. Does that make me a member of the London elite? See, this is the thing, right? When people start throwing sloppy, it's helpful because it's a shibboleth. Now, Aleph's dad taught me that word. Bob Mills, when I worked with him very briefly, all too briefly. He also taught me about chocolate breaks. But a shibboleth is a word that flags up the fact that someone is out of their normal area. I think it goes back to a story in the Bible about two different tribes, and in order to work out which of the Hebrew tribes you were from, and if you were from the enemy tribe, there would be a word, a shibboleth, which would be pronounced in a certain way in that area, and if you mispronounced it, you were obviously out of your... So I'm going to add to the shibboleth list... London media elite, or London elite, woke, social justice warriors, snowflakes, what else is there? People that complain about, virtue signalling, because apparently the opposite is fine. It's much better to be like that, according to these people. There are certain terms that get thrown around these days and they become kind of a lazy shorthand for anyone they disagree with, right? But unfortunately... for people ringing this show, having spoken to a different radio station, maybe been bested in an argument with a different radio host who was maybe inviting calls on such matters and getting people fired up. Unfortunately for you, if you come on this radio station and try that with me, I will give you a spanking, and not the kind you like. David, forget it. You're not coming on again, and no one's going to answer the phone to you, so put the phone down. Everyone else, though, 0344 499 1000. I do not mind having a conversation with someone. I don't mind having a conversation with someone who disagrees with me. What I will not have is someone coming on my radio station, my radio show, and telling me to just be quiet while they make their point. As soon as you do that, you get my back up. You do it twice, you're very lucky to get to the third time. Let's put it that way. So, David, good night. Enjoy LBC. This show is not for you. 0344 499 1000. And we don't have to talk about any of that stuff. Why is everyone so eggy tonight? I was in a really good mood when I came in, and I've had an absolute stinker this week, as you well know. It's Friday. Chill out. 0344 499 1000. Should we speak to David? Should we get him on? All right. Let's see if he's calmed down. Maybe he's seen the error of his ways. I wonder how this is going to go. David.
Hiya. So why do I need a hug? I mean...
Because you come on furious about nothing.
Yes, no. What? Somebody just said to you, Geordie Dave needs a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean, I need a hug?
Why are you angry?
What is... You know, like, people are being abused. 50,000.
You're not.
How do you know I'm not?
Well, you're not on this show, and yet you've come on shouting at me.
No, right. I tell you what, do you want to have an intellectual debate?
Yes, I won't be speaking to you. Let's have a quick word with John Dredge for an intellectual debate. Hey, Dredge.
Oh, hello, darling. How are you doing?
I tell you what, I'm earning my money tonight.
I saw something today that I thought was a bit weird, and I don't know if you think it's a bit weird or not. Somebody walking down the street reading a book.
Oh, it is weird, but I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's like someone out of a cartoon. You know, like Beauty and the Beast, she was always walking around reading a book, wasn't she? And it's just not practical in real life, so it shows a commitment. It must be a really good book.
Well, it might be a book called something like How to Walk Down the Street.
Or, here's the other thing, Dredge, there might be a spy.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I thought it was weird, because it sort of, to me, it meant that people are finding it more difficult to get down the street without having all this stimulation.
Yeah.
Like, I saw somebody else on a bicycle with headphones listening to music, and then in one hand they had a coffee.
Oh! My God.
You know what I mean? It's like getting to the point where everybody's got this incredibly low attention span. They have to be overstimulated to, you know, ride down the road.
It's,
or,
like,
you know.
It's like, I don't know when I'm going to get this coffee drunk, otherwise it's just going to have to happen now.
Exactly.
I've noticed a lot of grown men doing no handies, and when that happens, I become 14 again, although I wasn't driving back then. But what happens with me, whether it's a man or a boy or a group of boys in many occurrences where I live, if my girls are in the car especially, what has to happen is the car window gets rolled down and I shout out, whoa, cool guys, and give them a good old honk, 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 because I could never ride no-handed and I'm still in admiration of people that can. But if you're a grown man doing it, come on, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you think it is? They're just looking for excitement at all, yeah. You know, every second of the day.
And showing off. Over. And also too chicken to get a unicycle.
Pardon?
too chicken to get a unicycle. You might as well go the whole hog.
Ah, I see. But, I just thought it was weird, you know, and especially people constantly being, you know, they have to bombard themselves as well with, like, technology and things like that now. You know, they have to have their headphones on, they have to be reading something, they have to be looking at something. They're not actually paying attention, like you're saying, on bike with no hands, you know. They're sort of not really paying attention to what they do, you know, what's going on around them.
No, and here's the thing. Walking and cycling are great pleasures in themselves. And you see far more of the world or a different kind of sight when you are doing those things, if only you'll pay attention.
Yeah, paying attention is the thing. Paying attention to what's around you.
Being present.
Yeah. And that's hard when you've got, you know, when you listen to 48 different pieces of music. And,
or you're reading War and Peace down the high street.
I mean, I can't do it, but...
I don't think anyone can. It's the most awkward thing. I mean, unless that person has not done their homework and they've got a book report to blag, there's no excuse for that, is there? I mean, that is really the sort of thing that only happens in musicals.
How can you walk down the street? I've seen this twice this week. How can you walk down the street and read a book? I just don't see how you can...
No, there'd have to be eye holes in it. Surely.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to look into that.
Hang on. You've seen this twice?
I've seen two different people doing this, yeah.
Right.
Maybe this is the new thing.
There's only one explanation. You're being tailed. They're private dicks.
Well, yes, I was thinking that. You'd be right.
That's the sort of caper they'd pull. it's too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence, Dredge.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I'm surprised that one of them hasn't been pulled over for speed reading or something like that. You know?
It's so nice to hear from you. Listen, are you all right?
Yeah, very good. It's nice to hear you this week and, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. What are you up to creatively at the moment? Because I know it's usually something.
Well, you know, I've got this comedy sketch podcast thing that you have heard, you know, I did
yes.
it years ago. I'm doing a new series of it.
Brilliant.
And, so that should be fun. It's like, yeah, comedy sketches and things like that on the British Comedy Guide.
When is it happening and where can we listen?
If you go to the British Comedy website, British Comedy Guide website, it's called the John Dredge Nothing to Do with Anything Show. There's lots of sketches and the new series is coming out next month. But what I heard just today was that every episode of it got 10,000 downloads.
Wow.
To me, that sounds like a lot.
It sounds like a lot to me. That's really incredible. Well done.
So hopefully the next series will be, you know, be fun.
I can't wait to hear it. You're so talented. Thanks very much for giving me a shout tonight, Dredge. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll speak to you again.
And watch out for those private dicks. I'm telling you, they're after you.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.